Good evening. This is December 1st, 2008, World AIDS Day, and this is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Bob Lederer, and our Secretary Pro Tem, Yoshi Yamanaka. Will you please call the roll?
Sure thing. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Steve Brown? Steve Brown. Tico Chacin? Tico Chacin. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Kathy Davis. Kathy Davis. Anthony Feft.
Here.
Jan Goodman. Jan Goodman. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Thea Wangaza. Thea Wangaza. Leslie Radford. Leslie Radford, George Ryder, George Ryder, Rob Robinson,
here,
Bonnie Simmons,
here,
Yoshi Yamanaka is here.
Did someone just join?
Hi, this is Joe Gonzalez. I'm just here as a non-participating member, so... I mean, I have some comments that the media progresses, so otherwise ignore me.
Okay, Joe, we can barely hear you, so maybe if you...
Yeah, I'm in France. I'm just saying, I'm just joining as a non-committee member, but I may offer some comments at some point during the meeting. Otherwise, I'll just be a fly on the wall.
Okay. All right, so we do have quorum, correct?
Yes.
Yoshi? Okay, thank you.
We've got 8, which is quorum.
Thank you for taking the roll. Okay, so let me go through the draft agenda that I circulated yesterday. First check in with WPFW on whether they've elected their members, and if so, elect a permanent chair and secretary. Set our upcoming meetings. Review and approve any available minutes. And then reports from our 4 working groups, the one about the request for proposals to run the elections, the one about cutting election costs, the one about cleaning up the listener membership list, and the one about staff list. Then we have the proposed bylaws amendment regarding the national election supervisor and local supervisors, and the motion on campaign finance reform, and under new business, the proposed election rules. Carolyn has since added some of the remaining issues regarding the MEMSIS databases that came up when we talked to Nick Herlick. So I would suggest putting that right after the staff list report. There's no objection, and maybe allocating 15 minutes to that.
Well, I hate to say this, but I thought it would be even farther down than that. I don't know if we'll get to that tonight. The only other change I would like to make, though, is to move the staff list motion up, because it was cut off last time since it was so far down on the list, and put that in the first section, either before the reports or as a committee report at the beginning. Well, it's not a committee report, technically speaking.
Well, let me make another suggestion, because we're so close to finishing off the 2 motions that we tentatively passed last time that I think we're all very eager to get those up to the board. So, but there's a couple of loose ends which I'm guessing are not going to take very long, about the RFP and about the cleaning up the listener list. So I would say let's do those 2 items first, and then the staff list, and then cutting election costs, and then we can, if we have time, we can get to the MEMSIS issues. Is that
okay? That's fine. Yeah, the MEMSIS issue is not pressing, I don't think. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Oh, and with the adjournment time, as usual, 10:30. Okay. Well, so are there any objections to adopting this agenda as amended?
No.
Okay, hearing none, then it's adopted. So we'll ask our perennial question to our sole WPFW representative on the call. Rob, any progress on electing two LSV members to this committee?
No, I can't get a response from our chair about why we can't fill these positions. I asked him at the last meeting that we had, and he indicated that he was scheduling it. Bob, you know, you've seen my emails.
Oh, yeah. No, you've made a diligent effort.
So I don't know why this is so difficult. I really don't. And I apologize to the committee for the lack of responsiveness, but I simply cannot get the chair to focus on this. And it's not just this committee. There are other committees that are in the same state. So I'm embarrassed, but I really, quite frankly, don't know what to do.
Well,
you know, I'll bring it up again at the next meeting with you know, one of the other PNB members that may be willing to raise this issue, but I'm just, you know, I'm embarrassed and I apologize. I have tried
okay.
to get the chair.
No, I know you've tried, and there's no need for you to be embarrassed. It is what it is, and at this point, it's virtually moot because we're about
yes,
to have a new PNB come in, and of course, the committees will be reconstituted. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth pursuing from this point forward, but okay. Well, then let's go on to upcoming meeting dates. Yosh, can you recall, or perhaps anyone else, if you are not sure, what we set as our January date?
That was January
12th.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Bill?
From my notes from last month, it was Monday, January 12th.
Okay, great. Yeah, I thought we had said it.
Steve Brown.
Hi, Steve. And did someone else join a minute ago? I heard another beep. No? Okay. All right, so our next meeting, as we agreed last time, is Monday, January 12th at the usual time, 8:30 Eastern. So normally we would set 2 months in advance, but perhaps we should hold off on that unless someone would like to propose that we do it tonight. Okay, well, hearing no such motion, then we'll just, you know, we'll just have that next meeting and see what we want to do from there. Okay, so next is approval of minutes. Yosh, you did post the October minutes. I believe that was a couple of weeks ago. As far as you know, is that the only one outstanding? That and, of course, the very last meeting, which you haven't had a chance to do. But there aren't any earlier than October, are there, that we haven't approved?
There might be August. I seem to vaguely recollect that August keeps coming up.
Uh-huh. Well,
but those are, I haven't looked at August in several months, so I couldn't tell you what the status is.
Okay. All right, I see an email from you on October 27th that you spent several hours listening to the September meeting and took notes, and the August draft has not been compared to replayed and not ready for approval. Okay, so it would be great if by the January meeting you could have that, because that may, for some people, maybe the last meeting, you know, of this term. All right, but you did put forward the October minutes, so does anyone have any comments or corrections to that? As usual, it's very thorough. Does anyone need to postpone this, or can we go ahead and approve this tonight?
That sounds good.
Okay, well, hearing no objection, then these minutes are approved.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so...
October minutes.
I'm sorry. Yes, that was the October 27th.
Okay.
Right. Okay, now, on to the working groups. So first is the one that developed the RFP, which we went over in some detail at the last meeting. We did approve a motion to forward to the PNB. We amended it a little bit. I just reposted it a little bit before this meeting tonight. And I understand that Anthony has some small suggestions for kind of clarification of the, not of the cover motion, but of the RFP itself. Is that right, Anthony?
That's right.
Maybe if people, if everyone has it in front of them, it would be easier to follow.
Well, to help them, why don't you tell them this was posted by Yosh, and what time, Anthony, do you have what time stamp so people can look for it easily?
The wee hours of this morning, about 5:21 a.m., but I guess 8:21 for you on the East Coast.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Anthony.
Oh, I'm just wondering if people had a chance to...
I'm just trying to find it.
Hello, are we still on?
Yes. Yeah, we're just giving a second for people to check their email.
From Yosh?
Was it posted by Yosh?
It's the Global Justice 2 address.
Right, 8:21 a.m.
Right, 8:21, yeah.
The other address. Hold on. Okay, got it.
I don't.
It's 8:21 a.m. Eastern Time, and the header is RPF version 6. Thank you for that, Yosh.
Sure. Can I ask some information? In that our request for proposal, it says that one of the things we're telling them, the prospects, is that voters should be encouraged to view candidate statements online, and that candidate statement pamphlets will be mailed upon voters' request. That means that they will not get a candidate statement. Was that agreed on, voted on? That there will be no printed candidate statements?
No, we never...
I don't recollect that.
We didn't make that as a recommendation. I thought we had agreed that would be an option that the PNB might decide on, but that we weren't necessarily recommending that they follow that.
That's in the proposal request.
Of action.
Where is that?
It's on the second page.
Down where it tells them what they will have to do. Design, print, and mail paper ballots. And simple voting instructions.
Mm.
Voters should be encouraged to do candidate statements online, et cetera.
Bonnie, I just resent you that.
That's okay. I'm so sorry. I just found it.
Oh, all right. So, I'm sorry. Could somebody reread that phrase about the online access to the booklet, the candidate booklet?
Voters should be encouraged to view candidate statements online. Candidate statement pamphlets will be mailed upon voters' request.
Okay, what paragraph is that?
Oh.
That is probably number 5, the fifth paragraph after services to be performed. Services to be performed, the next paragraph is your proposal. Next is appoint supervised. Next. Each station, then coordinate and supervise, and then design, print, and mail paper ballots. And in fact,
Bill, maybe we should just say mail paper ballots, simple voting instructions, and candidate statement pamphlets.
Maybe we can just kind of not be definitive about that now. Just say something like candidate statement pamphlets will either be included or sent to voters upon request.
Here's the thing. If we, whatever form that takes, with pamphlets without, those statements will have to be solicited, edited, and put in some form. So the last step of whether it actually be printed will be a decision that the PNB makes. But the those who are running the election will have to supervise the gathering of those statements and putting them in some form, where they post it on the web only or on the web and in pamphlets. So I think we can say that the pamphlets should be printed, and if we decide not to print them, we can say so at the last minute. It's certainly not going to upset their plans. It's just going to do.
Well, there'll definitely have to be pamphlets. The only question is, will everyone get a pamphlet automatically, or will people only get one when they request it?
Exactly.
You know, that is such a major financial question. Now, that's the biggest cost, really, the pamphlets. But I think we really need to decide now if we're going to start collecting email addresses. I know I've gotten a few solicitations saying this will be your last ballot, you know, by post. Send us your email address and that sort of thing. And those things start a year or two in advance. So I think we should assume that we won't be printing it up. And if in an emergency we don't have enough people agreeing to vote, you know, to go online for this stuff, then we resort to print. But I think we need to assume that it won't be in print and act as if it won't be in print and make sure we have everybody's email address.
We never agreed to that.
No.
We always said there's going to be a printed ballot option at
not the ballot.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean
the book,
candidate statement option.
Candidate statement option.
We barely make 10% now. What's going to happen is that we absolutely will not make 10% if we start having these options. I mean, it just won't work. We're going to mail a ballot and then tell people if they want to see a candidate statement, they have to call us to get one mailed to them. That's crazy. We're going to reduce participation in this election or in any election by an enormous percentage.
Yeah, this is Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, I remember I was one of the ones who originally proposed just mailing it to people who requested it, but I think Steve's right. He convinced me when we had the earlier discussion that if we do the other things that we were talking about, like using standard mail and cleaning up our list so that we can get rid of bad addresses and things like that, then the cost won't be that, it should not be that high.
There's one more thing you might consider. If we want to try to see what happens with electronic voting and optional candidate statements, pick one station out of the five and let that election be conducted in that way. That means we won't sink or swim all at one time. And we can assume that the results from that one station will be pretty characteristic of what would happen at the other four. And the station would be chosen by some kind of random selection. Although I think that we should not choose T because that has too small a membership for us to really base any kind of statistical results on.
All right. Well, let's just try to zero in on this question of the candidate statement pamphlet, rather than the broader question about electronic balloting. So a suggestion I would make for wording to deal with what Steve is proposing is just to reword that sentence to say design, print, and mail paper ballots, simple voting instructions, and candidate statement pamphlets, and then strike what's there about voters should be encouraged to view it online. I heard Bonnie.
I just keep thinking that we have to, in the end here, also find a way to cut the cost of these elections. Would it not make some sense in going to people for proposals that we also heard what they had to say about the future for us of electronic voting, whether they have thoughts about pamphlets being online with a small supply of printed ones available for people in case there were people that didn't have online as an option who really wanted to have one mailed to them. I do think that the cost of mailing a simple ballot is much less than the cost of mailing a ballot along with that election pamphlet. So I hope that in getting these proposals that we're also going to be able to benefit from advice and perspectives that the various people that are applying for the RFP are going to have, rather than thinking that we know everything about doing an election because, you know, frankly, we don't. We've had enough problems in every one of them in the past that I don't think it would be such a bad idea to hear what people who do this for a living have to say about various questions that we have.
Well put.
Yosh for the staff.
Yosh, go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm going to propose is adopting Bob's language and adding or striking that last clause and replacing it in so that it would read, design, print, and mail paper ballot and simple voting instructions and candidate statement pamphlets, period. Voters should be encouraged to view candidate statements online and telephone or write the station and inform staff that a candidate statement need not be mailed, period.
Wait, you lost me on that. I don't understand. Isn't that unnecessary or at worst contradictory?
No, I don't think it's contradictory. It's basically an opt-out saying, you know, I read the candidate statements online, and thank you. I don't need for you to mail them to me.
It's too late. Isn't the ballot and the candidate statement going to be mailed at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then there won't be time for that kind of thing.
This is Anthony. You know, we don't have to decide this for RFP purposes. All we have to do is maybe put in parentheses that there may be a setup whereby voters will see the will be encouraged to see the candidate statements online, or to request printed candidate statement pamphlet, but that decision will perhaps be made by the PNB. So for purposes of drafting this RFP, we don't need to mention that now, other than maybe to put it in a paren that...
Bonnie's suggestion about consulting these experts is a good one, and may I further suggest that we do not even consider electronic ballots this time around, because it's going to cost us more money if they have to do both. Instead, go with the printed and ask whoever finally gets the bid to discuss with us how to implement electronic ballots on the next election in an effective and economical way.
I agree.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good. This is Bill for the stack.
And perhaps a phase in.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think whoever bids on it is going to need to know what they're going to have to do in order to give us a cost. So unless we ask for more than one way, but I think maybe we just settled that. They'll need to know how many items they're going to have to mail and what's going to be in it. Also, I was going to suggest that I'm sorry I didn't notice this earlier. Maybe we should explicitly say that they need to collect candidate information from the candidates and prepare the pamphlet. Because just reading this, it sounds like that's going to be done maybe by somebody else.
Yeah, I think that last point is a good clarification. So collect and assemble. Actually, do we have the whole thing about qualifying the candidates to be on the ballot? Oh, I see. Each station will verify and certify eligibility for candidates in two categories. But see where it says, actually, I just realized the word station implies that somebody other than the contractor will do that. But in fact, that is the contractor who has to do that, right? So up there, we should change the language to each local election supervisor, which is defined in the sentence above it, will verify and certify eligibility. Does everyone agree with that change?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so let me put that in. Local election supervisor will verify and certify eligibility for candidates in two categories, listener, sponsor, or staff for the five signal areas. Why don't we say such supervisor will also assemble a pamphlet with statements from all verified candidates. Does that address your concern, Bill?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. All right, so we got that piece. Now, back to how to talk about, this possibility about a different arrangement. So Steve was proposing that actually this would be somewhat different than the way we introduced it now. Now it says in brackets, transition to electronic balloting has not yet received final approval from the National Board, although your lack of response to provisions relating to electronic balloting will not disqualify you. capability to provide electronic balloting may improve a company's chances for selection. Services related to electronic balloting are in italics below, and then it has a list. So, Steve, I guess you would want it to be a little bit more open-ended, right?
I would word it this way.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it would have two purposes. I would simply say that the foundation plans to transition to electronic ballots either in the next election or the one after that. It would help chances of acceptance if you were familiar with electronic balloting and could advise on how to make the transition. That would encourage them to develop a plan in order to look ahead and get the job in the next election as well as this election.
Okay. I'm playing with some wording here.
Carolyn on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I even think that may be too tentative. I would say that the foundation is planning to transition to electronic balloting in the near future and would like to have as part of your proposal how you can help us do this in 1 or 2 years or within the next 2 election cycles.
That's good, too.
That makes it more specific and definite, so we won't get people who say, well, nice idea, but we can't do that, or we don't know how.
I think it might be clearer that way.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my only concern is that, as we all agreed earlier, the National Board hasn't yet made that decision, so we can't act like it's already a done deal. So I think we should stick with the language here, which says transition to electronic balloting has not yet received final approval from the National Board. So how about if we combine
in the event that the transition
yeah.
to electronic
no I have wording for that, so let me try this out on people. So after we do the part about design, print, mail, ballots, voting instructions, and candidate statement pamphlets, the next thing would be in brackets and would say, the foundation may transition to electronic balloting within the next 2 election cycles, or we could say within the next 1 or 2 election cycles. Your ability to advise the foundation on how to implement such a transition may improve your chances for selection. The transition to electronic balloting has not yet received approval from the National Board.
That's perfect. That's fine.
Okay, any other?
I would even leave out the last sentence, because you dealt with it in the first sentence. We say we may transition.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, what the board does or doesn't do is not relevant to them.
Okay. So are there any objections to my language? I'll delete that last sentence.
Sounds good.
Okay, so that'll be the new language. I'm going to send this out as soon as we're done. Now, Anthony, I think you had some other tinkering you wanted to do.
Of course. Let's see. Did we ever? I guess we didn't. We haven't quite finished that item about the candidate statement pamphlets.
Good point.
I would suggest that. Kind of be left open, because it is still open. So it could say something like design, print, and mail, paper ballots, simple voting instructions, and candidate qualification statements, and then in parens, qualification statements may be sent to all voters, or maybe sent upon request, and then we'll be interested in getting the see how that affects the bids.
This is Bill for the staff.
Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to prepare a pamphlet regardless, because some people will want it, even if the board decides that we're going to do electronic voting for most people. We need to have provisions for people that can't use a computer. So they're going to have to lay out and design a pamphlet anyway. The question is, how many do they print and mail?
Exactly.
Correct.
And then we also want it all on the website, regardless, too.
And somebody pointed out that people walking into the station in the last few days will expect to be able to pick them up. They got rid of several hundred that way at WBAI last time.
Okay, how about this wording? So I think I would suggest we stick with the phrase candidate statement pamphlets, because they are pamphlets, and it's not exactly qualifying. It's the statement, whatever they want to say. But anyway, leave that original language. Design, print, and mail, paper ballots, simple voting instructions, and candidate statement pamphlets, parenthesis. The foundation has not yet decided whether to send such pamphlets to all voters or to make them available to voters online and only send printed copies to those who request it.
Why would you put that in the proposal? It's not relevant to their function. It won't matter to them one way or the other. If we print, we can print a million and not send any of them. We can print 10 and send, it doesn't matter.
But don't they have to bid on this?
Right.
Don't they have to show us their costs, and doesn't that influence what the mailing cost is?
And the printing cost.
The printing costs should be what they are. In other words, I don't expect them to mark up their printing costs, and they will have to show us what they're charging for each item. If we tell them we want 1,000 booklets or 100,000 booklets, they'll have to show us what the costs are. They'll have to print certainly one booklet, and once they have to do that, you go on press. It's just a matter of how much more it is for the paper. The cost per booklet becomes cheaper as you print more anyway. So it doesn't. In other words, it does. They will have to print a booklet. How many doesn't matter. You'll get into that later with them, because they'll give you a proposal based on the number of pieces they have to print, and then you can tell them more or less when the final judgment comes.
Any other opinions on whether to include this if statement or not?
Maybe we should just simplify by, because there will have to be some quantity of pamphlets printed, so just have that one sentence as you wrote it, Bob, and then later we can explain the devil in that particular detail.
You mean later, meaning after the contractor is chosen?
Well, as we in further discussion with the candidate contractors.
Okay.
That there'll be this possibility that they may
they
may have to send a printed statement to every voter, or they may have need a smaller supply of printed statements to be mailed on request, or to have an inventory at the stations for people, but not sufficient volume to have to mail them to every voter.
There's one more issue that's somewhat connected in terms of what they may have to print and design. In the statement where it says design, print, etc., I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, I'm against having them design this package, because they will simply give you an envelope and a letter. And my feeling is that instead of concentrating on cutting costs for this mailing, we should concentrate on making the mailing cost as little as possible by getting as much money back from our listeners as possible during this campaign. And that's going to involve total package design that will have as one of its focus points getting a donation to offset the cost of this mailing. It can be done, and it's going to involve certain copy changes, maybe the design of the envelope, maybe a small premium in there. I don't know. But it's not going to happen that way if the election company has total control over the design of this package. They should have control over the ballot mechanism, because that's a technical issue, but not over anything else.
I'm not clear what you're saying, Steve. Who, if not them, who would design it?
Well, the foundation, I would like to design it, but the foundation should have control over that design. I mean, they can certainly submit a design, but all we're going to get is a package designed to cost as little as possible and get as few people to return it as possible. And that's not a desirable outcome for the foundation. We want as many people to vote and also as many people to send in money as possible. And none of the previous packages that have been designed by election companies and or people at the foundation who are responsible have done well in that respect.
Well, amen to that.
Anthony here.
Yeah, Anthony.
If we just struck the word design, would that satisfy that concern?
That would be good.
Well, no, because somebody's got to do the work, and you know, and it needs to be, you know, either a staff member or a contractor. So there can be, you know, other people that look at it, but you know, I think that has to be part of their responsibility. It could say design parenthesis subject to foundation review or something to make it clear that they don't just take the ball and run with it. But
that's fine. And then the foundation will have to decide if they want to have me or somebody else
right
input into that.
Okay, so, but I think Steve raises a good point about throwing into this mix a fundraising letter. How about if it reads design, parenthesis, subject to foundation review, comma, print, and mail, paper ballots, simple voting instructions, candidate statement pamphlets, and a fundraising letter?
No, Bob, it's not a fundraising letter. I don't know what it might be, but I don't want to preclude anything. I haven't even thought about what this package should look like. And it may not be a letter. It could be...
Okay, why don't we say appeal instead of letter? A fundraising appeal.
Right.
So it could be incorporated into the ballot or, you know, or not the ballot, but the cover letter or whatever.
The envelope and appeal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So is everyone... First of all, is that wording okay? Fundraise and a fundraising appeal.
That sounds good.
And then is everyone okay with leaving out this issue about are we going to print all of them or some of them, and let's just deal with that later? Any objection to that?
No, they're going to come back with queries of their own.
Yeah.
And hold on,
Steve. Let me just see if anyone else has any objection to leaving that out.
I have no objection to striking candidate statement pamphlets will be mailed upon request,
right.
But I think I'd like to leave voters should be encouraged to view candidate statements online. Just to plant the seed there, just for future reference, so that the foundation will start heading in that direction?
Well, then, if we put that in, then it should be in as in similar language about the transition to electronic balloting, that's still something yet to be approved. That may happen, but we're not, you know, asking them to bid as if that's a definite deal, that's a done deal, because it's not.
How about this? Just say that the contractor will create a web page where the candidate statements will be displayed.
Oh, actually, you know what? That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I haven't reread this recently. Is there anywhere in here that it requires the contractor to do the web work connected with the election?
No.
Yes, I believe it does.
Can you find the reference, please?
Well,
I didn't notice it myself, but I would.
In the past, hasn't it been that the election supervisor turns over the materials and the individual webmasters put it up?
It didn't
right,
work
but that's,
too well.
That's when we had a national election. A national webmaster, which that position, you know, has been that's been laid off.
Gonna,
so
yeah.
We might want to include that in the responsibility so that it gets covered.
Idea. If we're going to have a professional organization, it would be helpful to offload as much as possible onto that organization so that it gets done right.
So, Yosh, I'm sorry, you were looking for the reference where it's already in here?
Immediately under that transition to electronic balloting, the
mm-hmm.
next paragraph is revise and post optional web-based balloting for the 10 different elections.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a web-based election. I'm talking about just a non-web-based election that still has stuff up on the website, for people who find it more convenient to look at their information there, either way.
Well, the next sentence says, permit the voter to go to one of 10 different web pages and open the one page in which they are eligible to vote.
Right, so but that's all in the context of converting to electronic balloting. I'm talking about the web work that we've done in the last four elections, which is you have everything that's in the printed material also online, plus, actually, you do have an extra thing that's not printed, which is the answers to the questionnaires. So I think we should include that as an explicit responsibility of the contractor.
Well, that's one sentence. Contractor
okay.
will, you know, institute, will create and maintain a website containing all of the candidate statements.
Well, it's not create the website. It's use the existing websites. Let's see. Okay.
Is that what you want? You want them to use Pacifica's websites?
Well, I've never heard any objection to the way that's been done in the last four elections, except the fact that it hasn't been done quickly enough because our staff was overloaded, which is another reason to ask the contractor.
Exactly.
So, all right. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm not sure about the other station. We had on T, we had all the candidate information on our on KPFT's website. I know it was on the national one, but we referred everybody to the local one because it was easier to get it updated, and we had links to audio interviews and things, forums that, you know, each time there would be one, a new one done, that would be added. So maybe we should just have the contractor provide information to the webmaster for each of our station's websites. And then the webmaster would have to actually post it.
Yeah, that makes better sense to me.
Okay. I'm playing with some wording here. Post all necessary materials to the five station, all necessary election materials to the five station websites. How about that? Post and arrange.
Yeah.
Does that cover it, or am I leaving something out?
How about this? Prepare election pages for posting to station websites.
Okay.
That's better.
Well, but that might imply that it's generic, like here's the procedures, and so it's identical on all five sites, and what we actually are asking for is quite a lot of work, which is every candidate's statement, every, you know, the names of all the candidates, all that detail that's different. I mean, there is some common language at all five stations, and then there's the unique candidate information.
So, well, insert the word prepare detailed election information for posting to each station's website.
Right. Okay. Prepare detailed station specific election pages for all five station websites. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay, any other amendments to that sentence?
Go
ahead.
I would suspect that these organizations have their own websites, and rather than have them post to deal with five different websites and the difficulties involved in doing that, that they create an election space on their website, one for each station, if we want to do it that way, and let people go there. It'll be transparent to station listeners, because they'll simply key in a URL address connected with the station, and they will go to that special site. That way, we don't have to coordinate with our own webmasters. We don't have to go through the differences in each website, and we know that it will be done, hopefully, to professional standards.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Yes, Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit. What shall I say, anxious at all of the detail, and I know I wasn't involved in the original language of this, but wouldn't it be easier and better to say vendor will agree to a website presentation with, you know, the foundation and leave it open to negotiate? These things are all negotiated anyway in terms of a proposal, and if they come and say, well, we can't write a proposal until we know how much detail you want on this, this, or this, then I think, you know, you might want to spend a lot of time doing that. But you're going to get bogged down in a whole
That's
lot
a good
of
idea.
Detail that is just going to be wasted, if I may, if the company has other thoughts and is firm on them.
The less we say, the more proposals we'll get. And
yeah.
I think that we want to get more proposals than fewer. So that's a good idea.
Okay,
I'd generalize as much as possible.
All right, in that spirit, how about rewording it like this? Prepare detailed station-specific election web pages for all five stations, and that leaves open. Does it mean on the current website? Does it mean on your company
right.
website? Just it's to the
Why
future.
Why not take out detail specific in the interest of getting more proposals? Simply say prepare website proposals for each station. And you know, if you say detail specific, we will specify that when they come back to us. But what Carolyn said just prodded me. I should have said that in the beginning. The less we say up front that we don't have to, the more proposals we'll get. And I would rather review a lot of proposals than fewer.
Yosh,
okay, well,
back.
Yosh. Go ahead, Yosh.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about throwing out a generalized sort of a proposal for, and it's basically a fishing expedition, like, okay, we want, 100 respondents, and then we're going to have 100 different telephone calls or email or other communications, and it'll be just ping-ponging back and forth. I'd rather get some quality responses, whether it's only 5 or 10 quality responses, rather than seeking, 20 to 50 responses.
I wouldn't think there are 20 to 50, but...
Well, let me just say, I appreciate your concern, Yosh, but actually we're debating a tiny detail. This is already a very detailed proposal. You're not going to get people that can't handle the quite specific demands that we've already spelled out that we want to make. The only small point that Steve was making, which I agree with, is, or Carolyn, I guess, was that... on this very narrow question of do we want them to put it on their website or do we want it to be on our website, that doesn't have to be settled now. We don't have to specify. There may be a company that doesn't want to deal with their own website. So, fine, we'll settle that later. So it's still quite a specific request that they have to fulfill, which is prepare detailed election web pages for all five stations. So I don't think that's too general that's going to invite people who... are not really going to be what we want. I think we've got a pretty solid document. We're just polishing it a little.
Well, I had no objection, Bob, to your language. I just had an objection to the generalized statement that, we should keep things vague and solicit as many as possible.
I agree we shouldn't keep it vague, but I think this now language that we now have is not vague at all. Prepare detailed election web pages for all five stations.
I'm fine with that language.
Okay. All right. So we really passed time on this. So the one thing we still haven't quite settled is the reference to the candidate statement pamphlets being up in the air as to whether they'll be printed for everyone or not. So why don't, in that paragraph about may transition to electronic balloting, why don't we say the foundation may choose to limit printing of candidate statement pamphlets to those voters who request such. In addition, the foundation may transition to electronic balloting, et cetera, and the rest of that language we agreed on earlier. So it's thrown out as a possibility, but not as a definite.
This is Anthony. I thought we agreed a few minutes ago we were just going to strike that sentence.
Well, somebody was uncomfortable with, I can't remember who now, was it perhaps Yosh, eliminating any reference to the possibility that they might be called upon to do a, like a partial print and a partial online. If that person, who I can't remember, has withdrawn that concern, we can leave it as it is. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Whoever you were.
It was Mary Frances Berry.
All right, well, if no one's going to reclaim it, then We can leave it out. We can always bring it up in the next stage of discussion with them.
That's right.
So we're striking all of that transition to electronic ballot.
No, not that. No. We're keeping the... Okay, let me read it as I think we're now agreeing to it now, in full. And stop me if you want to hear it again or something. Design, subject to foundation review, comma, print and mail, paper ballots, simple voting instructions, candidate statement pamphlets, and a fundraising appeal, period. Next item, prepare detailed election web pages for all five stations. Next paragraph in brackets. The foundation may transition to electronic balloting within the next one or two election cycles. Your ability to advise the foundation on how to implement such a transition may improve your chances for selection. Oh, and then that phrase, I've now deleted it, but that phrase we had before about that such aspects are specified in italics below. Okay, in italics below. Okay, any final amendments before we approve this? Hearing none, is there any objection to this? I'm sorry, Anthony, you were the one who had concerns. At the start of this tonight, did we cover everything?
Yeah, that I think it sounds like we've got language that's acceptable to everybody on these issues. One or two other items.
Hold on. Let me just polish up that last sentence about specified in italics below. It would be responsibilities that would flow from such a transition are specified in italics below. Okay. Is that any objection to that wording?
Not here.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Anthony. Quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll go up the page rather than down the page.
And tell us what paragraph you're reading.
Right. The next paragraph above that one, the one that starts coordinate and supervise candidate forums.
Okay.
This is a little bit vague at this point, but remember a while back I was talking about having the option of bifurcating the services we bid for so that the sort of enforcement of the rules type services might be separated from the mailing and counting and data processing functions.
Right.
Because different outfits might have different abilities there. I thought perhaps that paragraph or that two sentences could perhaps stand a little elaboration just so people realize that it's been a controversial.
Okay. Propose some language.
Yeah, and unfortunately I don't. I mean, the functions are there.
Under the monitor and enforce fair campaign provisions, why don't we add including processing complaints of violations?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Is that any objection to that addition? Okay, so that's added. Now, you're right that we did talk about bifurcating to enable those companies or entities that don't want to do the whole enchilada. They just want a piece of it to just bid on that. So is this the only piece that we think could logically be separated out, or are there other pieces?
Well, as I saw it, it perhaps could break into two. The second one being what I call paper processing, and the first one being administration of fairness, if you want to call it that, and publicity. So those functions are all, I think, are all encompassed within that that little paragraph there. So and then
okay, hold on before you go on to a different point.
So you would want maybe a phrase about this could, like a parenthetical phrase that this, let's see, how do we word this?
These functions could be bid on separately from those following?
Preceding and following. Unless, well, what about the verify and certify eligibility? Would that be the same person that does the candidate forms and the, yeah, that's sort of a similar thing. If you're certifying eligibility, you're looking at rules and how the rules are being followed.
But, you know, I had better introduce the other concern I have because they kind of mush together.
Okay.
Where at the top of that section, it says your proposal will need to provide the following services. Approve, supervise, and pay an LES. The bylaws say that the ED must appoint the NES, correct?
Right.
So
bill for the stack.
Well, I'm sorry, Anthony, were you done?
Let's have Bill jump.
Okay,
in.
Bill, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a good point. I guess two things. Maybe at the very beginning we should say something like, if you do not want to bid on all the services requesting, please specify which ones. And that would let them know that they can bid on part of it, and then we can negotiate if we don't like that. And then the other thing was maybe just ask them what their management structure is going to be. I mean, that's a pretty common thing in proposals that I don't want to tell them what it should be, but it needs to be clear to us, like how presumably the LESs will all report to the NES, and I don't know, and we want probably a single point of contact, so if there's a problem, you know, we don't have to be the one calling around a bunch of different people and getting a runaround. You know, we want to be able to go to one person that's in charge and let them straighten it out if there's a problem somewhere. So if we just ask them what their management structure is going to be like, they can tell us what they need to work. Not sure if that gets at what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Not sure either.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And we certainly don't want to divide this into more than two, but it seemed there was a logical break between the kinds of functions, two kinds of functions.
Yeah, but if we're afraid of scaring people off because they can't do one portion of it, we still have to negotiate with them so we can find somebody else to do whatever they don't want to do, or if we're willing to do it ourselves.
Or it's possible we could get people have approached this idea of getting someone like the League of Women Voters who might do the first function, but perhaps not the processing function.